Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
Father, I just thank you for today. Lord, I just thank you that you have a message for us today for each and every single person. Father, I pray you open up the ears to hear what you have to say and just pour into them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I am Bryce, as it's maybe said it a couple times. Maybe you've seen my face up there a couple times. Today I'm going to be a little bit more serious, but I'm also going to try and keep my goofy side as well. And so as I was prepping for this, I realized that there was the whole weekend here, and I'm sorry if I maybe stutter a little bit, because I'm extremely tired from this weekend. And I also hope not to disappoint you guys, but there will be no games today. I know Stephen allowed you guys to play games this morning, but I didn't come that prepared. Anyways, I was prepping for this sermon, and I was asking God, I'm like, Lord, what do you want to speak on? Because I wanted to speak and share something with you guys that I feel I can really connect with. And as I was prepping for this sermon, the Lord kind of put on my heart, and he said, faith. I was literally laying in bed, and I'm like, faith? Isn't that like one of the most overused things that we ever say as Christians? My faith? Have faith? Do faith? What is it, right? But as I was sitting there, it made sense because God has shown me over the years what faith is. And it's one of the first things I ever really knew. So on that note, if you want to go to the first slide, we're going to go on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, on this one, it shows about nine, it should be, gifts of the Spirit. As you can see, there's inspirational gifts, revelation gifts, and the power gifts. When I was at Bible college, I took something called Martyr's Life. And Martyr's Life was a discipleship and evangelism-based program where we weren't just staying in the college, but we were going out. And so we tested these power gifts quite often. And with faith being at the top there, it goes and leads into gifts of healing and workings of miracles. And I believe it's one of the strongest things and the strongest gifts that any of one of us as Christians can have. And so we're going to kind of move into that today. So if you want to go to the next slide, I'm going to read you a bit of a passage here out of Matthew 8, 5 to 13. And this is the story of the centurion soldier. Have any of you guys heard of that before? Sorry. I might ask you guys some questions. It might make you uncomfortable. Just talk to my youth about that. They don't like it either. Okay? So the centurion soldier, I'll read it to you and I'll talk a little bit more about it. Well, how about that? That sound fair? All right, I got a couple nods. Let's go. Okay. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority. With soldiers under me, I tell this one, go, and he goes. And the one, come, and he comes. I say to my servants, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth. I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come to the east and to the west and will take their places in the feast of Abraham and Isaac and speaking in the kingdom of heaven. But the subject of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Then the centurion said, or Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done. And just as you have believed, it would. And the servant was healed at that very hour. So first thing I want to point out, could you imagine being the disciples in that moment? All of a sudden, you're like, hey, we're doing pretty good following Jesus. I'm pretty sure I'm pretty filled with faith. And all of a sudden, it turns around and just be like, yeah, this man, I've never seen anyone in Israel with as much faith as this man right here. And I'm like, Jesus, that guy doesn't even follow you. I've been following you for the last how many months? And you're saying this man, the stranger who just came up to you, has more faith than me? Imagine I'd be pretty jealous. I don't know, can you relate? A couple people are like, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, I guess. Okay? But the centurion soldier on this one walked in there, humbled himself before Jesus, and said this. He knew he wasn't a Jew. He knew he wasn't someone who would normally be accepted to go before him because he wasn't in that same culture. He was a Roman soldier. He actually was probably one of the people who might be chasing after Jesus to kill him later on. And so it wasn't quite seen as great in the eyes of anyone for this man to come before him. But yet he came to Jesus asking for something, and what did Jesus do? But he gave it to him. But there's a certain part of this passage, when I was studying it when I was at college, that really stuck out to me. And it's that he felt unworthy to have Jesus in his house. Who Jesus responds later by saying, "You have had the most faith that I've seen amongst anyone." He thought he was unworthy to have Christ come into his house. Let that sink in for a little bit. I'm going to come back to that in a bit. And so I'm going to kind of touch on two types of faith here today, just so you know. The second one's going to be out of 1 Kings chapters 18 and 19, the story of Elijah. Now, Elijah was a powerful prophet. He went out and he did some remarkable things. He was going out, and one moment he is calling down fire from heaven and mocking other prophets. He's like, "Come on, what is your God on the toilet?" Literally, he says, "Is he in the washroom that he cannot hear you? Cry out louder." Right? He's mocking other prophets and all these people to call upon their false gods. And he's seeing all of these miraculous things happen. And then in the next moment, he's hiding away. In chapter 19, he's hiding away. And actually, you should hear what he's saying. This is literally what he says to the Lord. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left the servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree, sat there under it, and prayed that the Lord, that he might die. He said, "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he laid down under the tree and fell asleep. He's literally saying, "God, kill me." He went from summoning fire from heaven, having the faith, unreal faith. I mean, have any of you guys summoned fire from heaven before? No? Oh, I thought there might be a couple. No? Okay. Well, I mean, that's pretty miraculous. But then all of a sudden, he's running away. He's like, no. Cowering underneath a tree, saying, "God, kill me." How does that happen? How do you go from one extreme to the other? But then God comforts him. God shows himself to Elijah, sends an angel to him, feeds him, says, "Get up," walks him through it, and says, "You're going to be all right. Stop being so dramatic. You're going to make it." Okay? Now, I don't know if you've picked up on it, but I've kind of showed two types of faith there. There's the faith of a soldier who's gone on, who's unsure, uncertain, who's looking for faith and has never seen it. There's someone who has been and shown miraculous faith and has been wounded. His life was threatened, Elijah, and he ran away. The centurion soldier might be risking everything for his life to go see someone else healed. Elijah already risked his life and saw God move, but yet he's still cowered. Can any of you guys relate to Elijah? I believe there are people in here today who have an Elijah story right now. And I believe there's people in here who have the centurion soldier, but haven't quite reached it yet. Elijah, powerful, looking to move, and has faith in the Lord and has seen it, and cowering away. How many of you guys have been hurt today? How many of you guys have cowered away? You expected it one way, but it didn't come. All of a sudden, someone said something to you, and you're like, "Oh no, oh no, oh no, you're taking steps back now. You feel like it. Anybody? Anybody brave enough to put up their hand? Hey, we got a couple. Because sometimes when we're taking steps forward, the enemy doesn't like that. And he wants to bring you back. And so, I want to encourage you guys today. I'm not done. I'm just getting started. Okay? I already flipped it. I didn't even realize it. Ooh, I'm that good. Ooh, or bad. Okay. Anyways, I want to give you an example. Because you know what? Maybe the enemy has pushed you back a little bit, but you need to step forward now. Okay? Because faith starts with an action sometimes, but it also doesn't. Because God comforted Elisha, but I'm going to talk on the part of taking a step. You've been wounded, didn't go exactly how you wanted, but you know what? There's a few people like that in the Bible, surprisingly enough. And I'm going to start with that, with the first one, and I've got it up there, is the woman at the well. The woman at the well was a woman who Jesus came across while going to draw water. Jesus didn't come, he didn't have any water on it at all. But he goes and talks to her and tells her, it says that he says everything about her life. And of course, then she goes on to take a step of faith because of that and shares the gospel with everyone else because first there. Then we have Peter walking on water. Peter walked on water because he had to take a step of faith first. Now, Stephen actually talked a little bit about this and this weekend, and it kind of caught me a little off guard myself. He said, you have to take a chance to take a walk outside of the boat. You're comfortable in the boat. The boat's nice and warm. The boat's a safe place. The boat's a place where I want to be. But when we want to actively pursue our faith and see God move in miraculous ways, sometimes we need to take a step outside of that boat. And now we're on water. At any second, we might be able to fall, but we got to take that chance. That's faith. Faith is knowing that God will protect you, knowing that God is there with you no matter what, even if that means you're going to fall a couple times. The next one is the men dropping a paralyzed man because they couldn't go see Jesus. So they open up. I would hate to be the owner of that house. I've always thought that. If you were in that house, all of a sudden you're like looking up and you're seeing shards coming from the roof, and you're like, that's my house. You welcome Jesus in and this is what happens? You get your house ripped apart? But then you get to see a miracle. These men took a step of faith. They took that first to see God move. And then, of course, you all know the story, but if you don't, I'm going to tell you anyways. He got healed. And the Pharisees weren't happy. But you know what? If you want to read that a little bit more for yourself, I'm not going to go there yet today. Okay? And the last one I'm going to use for an example, the blood clot woman reaching out to be healed in Matthew 9:18. She reaches out in desperation. It says she's been suffering, I believe, since childhood with this disease of blood clots and all of this. And she's desperate. Nobody will go around her because if you don't know, back then, if you bled or things like that, you had scabs, and then you were seen as unclean before anyone else. And she suffered with this disease, so nobody would go around her. And then she's like, I'm desperate. So she reaches out to touch the cloth of Jesus in hopes and having faith to be healed. And sure enough, she was healed. Jesus turns around, who touched my cloth, my robe or cloth? My robe thing. My clothes. Who touched my clothes? But of course, she was healed. But of course, you might ask, if you want to go to the next slide here. Bryce, that's all in the Bible. That happened 2,000 years ago. How could the faith be relevant today? How is that? These are holy men. These are holy women. This is in the Bible. Well, let me tell you in a big secret of mine. God still moves in the same way today that he did 2,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, since he created the universe. This is just a story, and guess what? The story's still going, and you're part of it. So I'm going to tell you a bit of a story about myself. And actually, the person involved in the story is in this room. Bryson is my best friend, and he actually has just moved to Brandon. When I was struggling with some depression, struggling with emotions in my life, I went down to my basement, and him and another friend were there, and I said, hey, I'm struggling with depression. And Bryson took a step of faith. And now, you don't know, some of you may not know Bryson, but he's not one to really speak out too often. But he said, Bryce, let me pray for you. I wasn't a Christian. I didn't really believe in much of this prayer stuff. I knew there was a God, but I didn't have a relationship. And so he offers to pray for me, and I say yes. And that was the start of a journey for me to come to know the Lord. By a simple step of him saying, can I pray for you? Now, can you imagine if you just asked someone in your life, each and every one of us, I don't know, maybe like 40 of us here tonight, something like that, 40 to 50 people. If each and every single one of you just went out and like, hey, someone that you know that may be struggling, can I pray for you? Where that would go? That was almost 8 years ago. Actually, that was almost 9 years ago now. And here I am today. I would have never, you tell me then I would be here, all because of a simple step of faith. For Bryson, that was huge. For some of you, that may be like, oh, that's not too bad, right? But for Bryson, that was huge to take that step. And because he did that, he ended up taking me to a retreat, and I had this crazy revelation of the Lord and came to give my life to him. And from there, there's a different type of faith as well. The faith of going out and asking for miracles. Now, I love seeing God move in miraculous ways. I love seeing God heal. I love seeing God bring people to tears. I love seeing all of this. And so when I went to Malaysia just a year, actually exactly a year ago, I saw God move in a way I've never seen him move in a way. I saw healings all over the place. And when I came back, I had a chance to share that with a group of youth. Our college sent people out to a place called Hannah. Any of you guys know where Hannah, Alberta is? Little small town in Alberta. Not a lot there. I think they have a Subway and a Tim Hortons, so that's pretty good. But when we got to Hannah, before, the Lord was like, I want you to share these testimonies with these kids. And so we got a chance to share. And it was more stories of this God giving me a word of knowledge. And I had to take a step out and pray for this man, for his knee, in a super marketplace where Jesus isn't really acceptable in this country. They don't like him as much as we do in Canada. And so I prayed for him. Knee was healed. And then I go, and I end up talking to another person. And when this woman, who her husband was numb from the waist down, all of a sudden he started getting feeling back because we took a step to pray for him. It all starts with a little step, and then it's just a pendulum swing. But when I told these people, I was like, well, they don't care. These aren't Christian kids. It's a drop-in center. What is it going to mean to them? He's like, tell them my stories that I did through you, and I'll do the rest. He'll do the rest. And as I took that step, I told him my story. I'm like, all right, Lord, now what? And I remember sitting there panicking. I'm like, I didn't prepare for this, God. What do I do now? And he's like, now get them to pray for each other. I'm like, what? None of these people are Christians, God. They don't know how to pray. So I was like, whatever. We'll roll with it. And I get them to pray for each other. I just tell them. All right, they're like, how do we do this? I'm like, well, just lay, who here, first of all, who here's injured? One guy's like, well, I got this really bad kink in my neck and my shoulder's out of place. I'm like, wow, that sucks. And so I was like, who's brave enough? Who wants to take a step here and try it? And this little guy, who's like in grade 6, probably about this tall, puts his hand up. He's like, I'll pray. A little man like this, who has been making fun of the entire night, steps out and prays for this, the guy who's, I think he was even taller than me. And it was healed like that. Healed. Right there on the spot. No more pain. Nothing. And from there on, it just kept on rolling. All of a sudden, he's like, no way. Then the one guy's like, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. That didn't happen. You're faking it. And I'm like, well, do you have pain? He's like, well, yeah, I have an ingrown toenail. I'm like, that's gross. You pray. I'm not touching that. But they did pray, and they prayed, and all of a sudden, this ingrown toenail was fine. It went back to normal. This guy's like, no! That can't happen! I'm like, I know! I had no idea that was going to happen. This is great, isn't it? He's looking at me like, what? You're the one who told us to do this. The trick is you got to be as crazy and as excited as they are, because then it catches them off guard, right? And so he goes, and then from there, a kid gave his heart to the Lord. And then the next week, two more. And then the next week, three more. Each week, we started seeing more and more. And it was a dry season in Hannah. There was depression. There was murder. There was all these things going on in that small town. And they needed Jesus. And all I had to do was take a step. But I was scared. I've taken steps before, and I've been hurt. I've been caused pain. It didn't go the way I expected. How many of you guys have done that? Where you went to pray for someone or do something where you thought the Lord was going to come through. You're dipping your toe in faith. You're like, well, I'm testing the waters. Is it lukewarm or is it cold? Do I want to go in or do I not? And Jesus is looking back at you. Just go. I got you. Because even if you fall, he's there to pick you up. Faith is not knowing the outcome, but trusting that God will come through. We don't always know how it's going to happen. I'm sure when Bryson took that step of faith, he didn't know that 7.5 years, 8 years later, I'd be up here. I'm sure he didn't get it. If you told him that, he probably would have said, no, that's stupid either. That's stupid too. But when we take a step of faith, God does the rest. You don't know that person you went up to on the mall and went to go swing crutches at you because you asked to pray for them. True story. Well, all of a sudden, 3 months later, someone does the same thing. And then all of a sudden, God just starts bringing people in there. You don't know the whole story yet. You may never know the whole story. Because sometimes you're just the first step for that person. If the worship team wants to come up here for a second. Not for a second, to continue up here. Just for 1 second, that's it. That's all I ask for. A simple second. Okay? But I feel like in this room, you can relate to one of those two stories. I want to just quickly go back to that centurion soldier. I said I'd come back to him, and here I am. I didn't lie to you. That centurion soldier didn't believe he was worthy of Christ. He didn't believe he was enough. He didn't believe he could have Christ inside of him. He didn't believe, well, I guess maybe not inside him at the time. He didn't think he could have inside of his house. But you know what? Now we are that place. Maybe you're at the point in your life, in your walk with God, you're like, I don't know. I don't know, I've heard these stories. I just heard Bryce tell a story about someone's ingrown toenail being healed. That's pretty weird, but sounds pretty cool. And you're not sure. But maybe you know someone. Maybe you yourself are struggling with a pain in your life right now. Or you know someone who's struggling with that. And you're like, it drives you nuts seeing that. Centurion soldier was said he had the most faith out of everyone in all of Israel. All of Israel. I have not seen someone with as much faith as you have. I feel like there's people in here who have faith tonight who haven't even tested the grounds yet. The water's warm. Come on in. But I also believe God wants to move in your life. I tell this to some of my youth. Your story's not done yet. Your story's barely even started. It's not over till it's over. You might be on it, feel like a downward spiral right now, but But all it takes is a moment of faith, that trusting that God will take you out of that and lift you up into a higher place. It may be hard. It may not be the way you expect it to be, but he will move you in a direction that is good. And I believe there's people who have been wounded. People who have tried to pray for someone and failed. If there is a failure when it comes to prayer. Maybe someone passed away in your life and you were praying hard for that. Don't. No, God, I'm praying for this and it didn't go the way you expected. Maybe something dramatic happened in your life. Maybe you've been being bullied. Maybe you were bullied for when you were a child and you're a God, where were you? You believed then, but you've slowly walked away over the years and the years because, you know, it didn't stop. Where were you, God? I believe God wants to bring your faith back to life. And he wants to comfort you the same way he comforted Elijah. Elijah was wounded. He was unsure. He was scared. He wanted to die. And Jesus sent an angel. Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God sent him an angel to feed him, to comfort him, to tell him to get up. And I think God is calling some of you tonight to get up. But that means you have to eat first. If you're not sure tonight, you relate to the centurion soldier, I want to pray for you. Or you're looking for that miracle, but you're taking that step and you're wanting that miracle in your life because you've heard about it, but you haven't seen it yet. I want you to come to the front in this area right here. We want to pray for you. And if you can relate to someone who's been walking their life with faith for years and is too scared to step out because you're scared of being hurt again, scared of being embarrassed, injured, whatever it may look like, I want you to come up and I want to pray for you that too. Because I feel like God wants to spark a new faith, not only in this church, but in this city. Let's stop giving up. Let's stop giving up as Christians. When things don't go our way, things aren't always going to go the way you think they are. Because guess what? You're not God. This ear thing is bugging me. It's not going to go the way you expect all the time. But trust that God's going to move you. He wants to heal those wounds. He wants to feed you with good food. If you ask for bread, he won't give you a snake. He wants to feed you tonight. And not just tonight, but for the rest of your lives. But you have to be willing each and every single day. Falling, good times, bad times. Stephen said that today, this morning, that sometimes when it gets bad, we have to be willing. If it's in the top of the time of your life, let's praise him. Let's walk out in faith. It's the worst time of your life. Let's praise him and walk out in faith. Knowing that things will get better. That's the journey of life with Christ. And so if you can relate to either of those, I want you to come up today and I want to pray for you. So Father, just thank you for your love. And that Father, it starts with the steps of faith, Father. It starts with you. Lord, we may be scared, we may be worried, but Jesus, I just pray right now, God, that you just spark that faith in our hearts. If we've been wounded or hurt here, Lord, I pray that you just be able to bring that back. Start to sew it together, renew our hearts to where it was. We want to have a childlike faith once again, Lord. And so move today, move tonight, Lord, in the hearts of the people that are here. Let us wake up and start a new journey today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.